Frampton, the Rural Dean, and it's my privilege to welcome you all here to St. Gregory the Great, St. Greg's, for the institution of Reverend Linda Cronin as your rector. An awful lot of thanks are owed to people for this celebration, to the people who've decorated and prepared and cleaned the church so well, to all our musicians, organist, choir, music group, thank you. To the people who've prepared the refreshments above, to the bell ringers who rang out those bells through the rain, and anybody else that I may have forgotten, you're all included, and thank you for being here to celebrate with us. There will be a retiring collection for the Bishop of Exeter's Clergy Fund on your way out. And now let's have a moment of stillness before we start.
Thank you. Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to this service and this celebration this evening. Welcome, first of all, to Linda and Steve. We welcome you back very warmly to Dawlish and to the Dawlish Coast Mission community. I know how much you will be appreciated here, and as we formally welcome you, we want to thank you for offering to serve and to minister in these parishes. People of these parishes, take Linda to your hearts. Welcome her into your homes, into your schools, your places of meeting. Please take good care of her, as I know that she will take good care of you. And share with her in the mission and ministry of God in this place. So we welcome friends and family, the people of this mission community and of the Ken Deanery, to those who have come from Linda's former parishes, friends from the cathedral, ecumenical partners, and local schools. Welcome to the Deputy Lord Lieutenant, the Mayor and councillors, friends and supporters from far and wide. And if you've just wandered in this evening, please know that you are most welcome. The start of new ministry is always a moment of thanksgiving. It is thanksgiving to God for the journey so far, for his presence with us now, and for leading into the future. I want to say a particular thank you to church wardens and to the ministry team, to everyone in this mission community who have been getting on with what you do here, which is serving Jesus Christ as his people and blessing your community. Life during a clergy vacancy can bring gifts, so thank you for what you've been doing, and don't lose the gifts of the past year, even as you welcome with joy the start of Linda's ministry. For your goodness to us at all times, for your blessings on these parishes, for all who have served you here in the past, for the call you have given to each one of us,
Bishop Jackie Linda Cronin has been chosen to be the rector of this benefice. She now comes before you to be admitted to the cure of souls of the parishes of St. Gregory's, St. Mary's, St. George's, and St. Paul's in the mission community of the Dawlish Coast.
Bishop Jackie, Linda has been chosen to be the rector of this benefice. As patrons, we now present her to you to be admitted to the cure of souls of the parishes of St. Gregory's, St. Mary's, St. George's, and St. Paul's in the mission community of the Dawlish Coast.
I thank you for your presentation. Linda, do you believe, so far as you know your own heart, that God has called you to lead the mission and ministry of the people of God in this place, as their priest and pastor?
I believe that God has called me.
Church wardens and people of this benefice, will you welcome Linda as your new rector?
We will.
Will you support and share with her in worship and witness, in mission and pastoral care?
We will.
Before admitting Linda to the cure of souls of these parishes, I call upon each of you to pray. Not only for Linda, but also for yourselves, that together you may be given grace to glorify God and to serve the people of this community with joy. Let's hold a moment of quiet as we focus our prayers on Linda and on ourselves at the start of this new phase of ministry. God. God our Father, Lord of all the world, we thank you that through your Son you have called us into the fellowship of your universal church. Hear our prayer for your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry each may be an instrument of your love. And give to your servant Linda, now to be installed, the needful gifts of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
To sing the hymn, "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you."
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Thank you, Linda, for choosing these readings. They are both highly appropriate for the start of your ministry, but also for the start of Lent, the season that we are in now, having had Ash Wednesday yesterday, when we hear again what it means to be a Christian and to become more like Jesus. It has probably not escaped your attention that we are in a general election year. Already there are signs and signals being given, messages, positions being taken, and promises being made. The gospel reading that we've just heard is often referred to as Jesus's manifesto. It's what he is setting out that he will do, what he stands for, what he intends to accomplish. It comes right at the beginning of Jesus's public ministry, and he's gone to his hometown of Nazareth in Galilee. And it's emphasized in verse 16, this is the place where he has been brought up, the place where he is best known. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and everyone expected to see him there as usual, and for things to run as they normally did. But on this particular Sabbath day in Nazareth, the Jesus that they had known from childhood was about to reveal his full identity and his purposes to those who were gathered. This reading is the revelation of Jesus's purpose, his core mission in life. He's setting out who he is and what he will do as God's Messiah. Listen again to the reading, this time from the Message version of the Bible, and just imagine for a moment the impact in Jesus's hometown, among his neighbors and families and friends who were not expecting such a thing. "God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. He sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's time to shine." He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistants, and sat down, and every eye in the place was on him, intent. And then he started, "You have just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place." You'll have to read on to know how those who were familiar with him reacted to his message. It's not a political manifesto by which to get elected, a manifesto where we know that at least half the promises will be broken, and no, I'm not going to go there this evening, but a manifesto in which every word will be brought about, in fact, has already been fulfilled by the presence and the person of Jesus. In our baptism, all of us are called to join in with this manifesto. If this is his purpose, then it is ours too, as his followers and as his church. And I know that this is something deep on your hearts here in this mission community, that you are people who bring good news to the poor, to bring release to captives, to proclaim and live by God's love and light. And I know that these words are at the heart of Linda's calling and ministry too, no doubt why you chose them for this evening. I often meet people who come to talk to me about a sense of calling or vocation in the church, particularly those who might be testing a call to ordination. And one of the questions that I will ask them is, do you have a key scripture or a particular text or verse that is meaningful for you and as you explore this calling? And nearly always somebody has something that is absolutely core to them, something that they can name and say, this is the calling that I feel that God has given to me. And I wonder, even as I say that now, whether all of you might think, actually, I've got a particular verse. I've got something that is the most precious verse to me, something that I feel that God has put on my heart. Because I think that those of us who are Christians often do have something that is our key text. I have on my cross, the Lord is my shepherd. And I have inside my ring, my bishop's ring, feed my sheep. I wonder what yours is. But I know that for Linda, she's chosen this, these words from Isaiah, and this manifesto of Jesus, because this is what is on her heart. And I know that she will work with you to fulfill that vision and that mission. So as a mission community too, I wonder if you have a particular verse or text that seems to guide you as a mission community. And perhaps it is these readings from Isaiah 58 and from Luke chapter 4 that will shape you as a community in this next stage of your ministry. The words of both readings offer great challenges to us, and we may feel overwhelmed by the need that is around us, which we know is great. And I'm reminded, as I was preparing this sermon, I thought of a story where the unexpected person is the giver, that we may think of ourselves as those who are giving into our community. But actually, so often we find when we go out in the name of Christ and share his love that we receive as well. We receive the gifts of others. And I remember this story. It's from the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, the Ignatian Order, Father Pedro Arrupe. And after celebrating the Mass in a desperately poor slum area of Latin America, he describes how this threatening-looking man came up to him afterwards and said, "Come to my place, I have something to give you." And he was really hesitant, should I go with this person? But he decided to take the risk, and he wrote this, "I went to his place. His house was a hovel, nearly on the point of collapsing, and he had me sit down in a rickety old chair. From there, I could see the sunset. The man said to me, 'See how beautiful it is.' We sat in silence for several minutes. The sun blazed and then dropped below the horizon. Then the man turned to him and said, "I don't know how to thank you for all you have done for us. I have nothing to give you, but I thought you would like to see this sunset." There are many gifts to be given and received, and they do not have to cost money. It may be the precious gift of your time. And never underestimate the gift of beauty in this world, the sharing of a sunset, a walk along the beach, a piece of art. So may all of you, with Linda, know the Spirit of the Lord upon you, anointing you to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to live as his people and to serve with love and with joy. Amen. Linda, before you are admitted as rector, you must declare your assent to the Christian faith as received by the Church of England, and swear your allegiance to His Majesty the King and your canonical obedience to the Bishop of Exeter. The Church of England is part of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, worshipping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It professes the faith uniquely revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, which faith the Church is called upon to proclaim afresh in each generation. Led by the Holy Spirit, it has borne witness to Christian truth in its historic formularies, the 39 Articles of Religion, the Book of Common Prayer, and the ordering of bishops, priests, and deacons. In the declaration you are about to make, will you affirm your loyalty to the inheritance of faith as your inspiration and guidance under God in bringing the grace and truth of Christ to this generation and making him known to those in your care?
I, Linda Nancy Cronin, do so affirm and accordingly declare my belief in the faith which is revealed in the Holy Scriptures and set forth in the Catholic creeds, and to which the historic formularies of the Church of England bear witness. And in public prayer and administration of the sacraments, I will use only the forms of service which are authorised or allowed by canon. I, Linda Nancy Cronin, swear that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to His Majesty King Charles III, his heirs and successors, according to the law. So help me God. I, Linda Nancy Cronin, do swear by Almighty God that I will pay true and canonical obedience to the Bishop of Exeter and their successors in all things lawful and honest. So help me God.
Jacqueline, by divine permission, Bishop of Crediton, acting during the vacancy in See of Exeter by virtue of an instrument of delegation dated 30 September 2023, To my beloved in Christ, Linda Nancy Cronin, Clerk, Bachelor of Arts, Master of Arts, greeting. I do hereby institute and admit you as Team Rector to the benefice of Dawlish with Holcombe, Coughton and Starcross within the diocese and jurisdiction of the Lord Bishop of Exeter, to which you are presented by the Cathedral Church of St. Peter in Exeter, the Dean and Chapter of Salisbury, and the Right Honourable Charles Peregrine Courtney, Earl of Devon, the patrons thereof. And I invest you with all the rights and duties of the said benefice, and appoint you to be leader of the team ministry established for the same. And I commit to you the cure of souls of the parishioners to be shared with the other members of the team chapter thereof, saving to the Bishop of Exeter and their successors their episcopal rights. In testimony whereof this deed is hereby executed by me, and I have hereunto set my hand this 15th day of February in the year of our Lord, 2024. Receive the cure of souls, which is both mine and yours, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I anoint you with this oil for the Lord's blessing on your life and ministry. And may he bless the work of your hands. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you now and always. Amen. May God, who gives to his people many gifts and ministries to the advancement of his glory, stir up in you the gifts of his grace. Sustain each one of you in your own ministry and enable you to work together for the common good through Jesus Christ our Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Archdeacon, now that we have instituted Linda as incumbent of this benefice and admitted her to the cure of souls, we request you to induct her into the possession of the benefice and its churches and to support her in this ministry.
I will do so gladly. I'd like to turn and watch us as we go to the door. Andrew, Archdeacon of Exeter, induct you, Linda, into the real and actual possession of the benefice of Dawlish with Holcombe, Coughton and Starcross, with all the rights and responsibilities that belong to it. May the Lord preserve your going out and your coming in, both now and forevermore. Amen.